Okay, guys. Well, listen, we want to kick off. This is the first session of probably about eight on learning contemplative prayer, Christian meditation. And I just want to say welcome to a journey of the heart. That's what this really is. It's to discovering a huge, massive world that's within us, but it's much bigger than just us. And it's different to the world of the mind. So, you know, I think if you commit to do this and you commit to pursue this journey, you probably join, I don't know, maybe 2% of the world's population. And that's a sad thought, that probably 98% of human beings just live in their minds. And 98% are just cognitively processing, and that's how their lives work. And they think they are their minds, you know, but we're not our minds. We're so much bigger than that, because what we really are is in here, and that's what God created. So, you know, this is a journey of discovery, but it's a little bit like you kind of join kindergarten and there's just so much to learn. And so the heart is your inner world, it's your spirit man, but it's also the place where God is, and that's why it's infinitely big. It's bigger than the universe, and so it's a journey this of immense excitement, like climbing the biggest mountain you could imagine. And it all begins with a simple practice. Which we'll get going today, and if you're not familiar with this stuff, by the end of today you'll be able to do it. And then over the next 8 weeks we'll just cover things I've learned in the past 2 years that take it a little deeper, and Don will share things he's learned, and then we'll just keep going as a group. I kind of encourage you to commit for the 8 weeks. By commit, ideally join on a Saturday morning, but if you miss, at least catch the podcast and then practice it. And practice what? Well, you're going to learn how to meditate today, and the recommendation, what we're focusing on, by the way, the exact technique that we're going to learn. Barbara,
there's welcome. Thank you.
Hi. You can't sit there because you'll sit with the camera at the back of your head. And Rickster. Welcome, guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All our friends from South Africa there.
Oh,
Pete
hi.
Morse. Don Love.
Hi.
Guys.
Good morning.
So, sorry, did you find your way up? Okay.
Yes, I used to pray here.
Okay, good.
I'm Barbara. Good to meet you. Okay.
Where's the Starbucks for the rest of us?
This is actually Rick Bucks.
Rick Bucks.
Sometimes I double the cups and so you see
that's I like that, yes.
Alright, well, back to it. So we're on to this journey of the heart. And it's a beautiful and immense journey. Basically what it is meditation is getting out of your mind and into your heart. Christian meditation is discovering Christ in you as you do that. And we're going to be practicing specifically centering prayer, which is one method. It's something that a guy called Thomas Keating developed. He was the abbot of a monastery. And about in the 60s, a lot of young people were coming to the monastery. And they were knocking on the door saying, could you please give us directions to the Zen temple? And so it distressed these guys to say, why does our faith not have a way to genuine spirituality? Why is everyone going to Zen? And so they looked back into tradition, into the Bible, and they came up with centering prayer, which is really based on a book called The Cloud of Unknowing, which is very, very wonderful, 14th century classic. It's believed to have been written by a woman, Bongi. And that's why it's anonymous, because in those days, if you said it was Bongi Mkhize that wrote the book, they would have not believed you. So, So let's dive into it. I'm just going to take probably 10, 12 minutes to briefly describe centering prayer from three angles. The one is the official guidelines that Thomas Keating put out, which are kind of 2 minutes long. The second, from a brief teaching that Thomas Keating gives, which is based on Matthew 6, verse 6, when Jesus taught people to pray. And then thirdly, the way I've taught my children, who at the time were 9, 12, and 14, and they got it. So you'll be able to pick which of those three methods you prefer. So, and I'll email this to you guys, or it'll be on the website. So here's the official guidelines. I'll read them. For nearly 30 years now, these same basic points have been covered in centering prayer teaching in the form of four guidelines, which have successfully introduced tens of thousands of people worldwide to the practice. Number one, choose a sacred word as the symbol of your willingness to consent to God's presence and action within. So choose a sacred word. Take time to do it. Maybe it'll take a few weeks, but for today, choose a sacred word. My sacred word is presence. Other people's sacred word might be love, Jesus,
peace.
Choose a sacred word. And that word doesn't mean what it means in itself. It means that you consent to God's presence and action within you. So it's a prayer. You choose a word that's short for a prayer. Secondly, sitting comfortably and with eyes closed, settle briefly and silently introduce the sacred word as the symbol of your consent to God's presence and action within. Third point. When engaged with thoughts, return ever so gently to the sacred word. Fourth, at the end of the prayer period, remain in silence with eyes closed for a couple of minutes. So that's really it. Now, let me read you, and then we'll quickly discuss what Thomas Keating... they interviewed him. He recently died. He's an incredible man. Recently died, and they did a series of interviews. This is captured in a book called World Without End, which I recommend. But he gives a kind of a four-paragraph summary, and this is what he says. Centering prayer is based on the wisdom saying of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 6. If you want to pray, enter your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, you know, I've got the background of a Bible teacher, and I can almost hear the ifs and buts that come up in my own mind when you try to teach meditation from Matthew 6, verse 6. But here's something fascinating. You know that these guys didn't live in mansions in those days. They lived in single room houses. So how could there have been an inner room in a single room house? They didn't have studies. Okay, so this is quite valid that it's a figurative thing Jesus was describing here. So listen to what Keating says. The first step in centering prayer is to enter your inner room, which is symbolized by the heart in most traditions. That is your innermost self beyond the senses and beyond thinking. Choose a place that is fairly silent, where the phone doesn't ring, people don't talk to you, and the noise in the street is minimal. Okay, so that's step one. Step two, close the door, symbolizing your intention of letting go of all thoughts, preoccupations, memories, and plans during this time. As soon as you are overtaken by thoughts, which is inevitable in the beginning, return to your original intention to let go of all thinking. You can do this in a very simple and extremely gentle way, like saying a sacred word briefly noticing your breath, or turning to God with a brief glance of faith in His presence. Finally, you pray in secret to the Father, who speaks to you beyond words and who invites you to ever deeper silence. So those are Thomas Keating's own words. I'll just expand slightly. These are the three parts that Jesus covers. Go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father. And those three really describe the practice. Your inner room is the room of your heart. How do you get to the heart? Well, you stop thinking. Surprisingly hard to do. And when you start trying to do that, you realize how little control you have of your mind, which is kind of sad, because you're meant to be able to control your mind from your heart. And so that's what this will teach us over 30 years. Or however long we have, Bob. In your case, 40 years. So the inner room. Second, close the door. This is so awesome and so powerful. It's letting go of stuff, burdens, worries that all manifest themselves as thoughts. So I promise you, we're going to do this now. You're going to close your eyes and then something's going to come up. And it might be something pretty harmless like what's for supper. But usually, and especially after a while of doing this, what starts coming up is not harmless. It's stuff that's linked to the deep issues of your heart, your fears, because those thoughts want to get involved now. Why are you trying to be quiet and be with God? I want you to focus on me, your fears. And then letting go of those, closing the doors to those and saying no, is a powerful process of transformation. We'll spend a whole session discussing that. And then the third one I want to touch on, which is tricky, which is pray to the Father. I was having a discussion with a friend this week who said, but I want you to know, to be honest, I'm angry with God. And I just loved that honesty. It's better that you could say that and know that than just suppress it. But so whether you've known God in inverted commas for 30 years, 20 years, 5 years, directly or indirectly, you've probably, all of us have got some negative thing about Him that's tucked away in our hearts and in our minds. Some of us more negative than others. Some of us see a guy with a gray beard and a big stick in the back of our hearts that just wants to zap us as soon as we step out of line. Maybe because your father wasn't the best father. And so this third part might be tricky to you. It might be off-putting. It might actually feel like it's a roadblock to the whole process. So let me help you with this. I've been wrestling all week with how to say this. For those of you who've got an amazing experience of God already, let me just tell you, your experience is only a fraction of how awesome He really is. But at least you can get into this. But for those of you who don't have an awesome sense of who God is, what do you do? I've been wrestling with it all week. Well, the Bible says God is love. So let's just start there. All of us love love. All of us need love. So then just focus your mind's eye towards love. This week, I must tell you, I had a half an hour session in my office in Michigan. I have a fortunate enough to have a couch in my office. I lay there. I don't do the sitting, by the way. I prefer the lying. And I must tell you, after 5 minutes, I had this most incredible sense of love. I wanted a giggle. I wanted a shout. And I was just filled with this warmth. And it doesn't always happen like that, but it will happen like that, that sometimes God will just get in your face through your heart. And I can't tell you how much confidence that gives you and how it transforms you to get that. So anyway, if you struggle with Father or God, because this is aimed at someone, but not someone there, someone here, then go for love. So finally, in 1 minute, how did I teach my children? I said, sat them down. We were sitting on a beach in Michigan, and I said, guys, I'm going to teach you to meditate. It's the best thing that's ever happened. And they said, cool, how do you do it? And I said this, I said, have you ever felt God's presence? And fortunately for them, because of their journey, they said yes, each of them. I said, great, where is it? They frown a bit. And then I said, no, like kind of where would you say you feel that? They said, like maybe here in the gut, you know, like there somewhere. I said, okay, this is how you do meditation. You close your eyes and you focus on that place. And if you get a distracting thought, then you just say a sacred word so that you can let go of the thought. Simple as that. So let's try it. Are you ready? And just incidentally, there's an app for this. Not that will actually help you in any way to meditate, but that serves as an excellent timer. So if you look up Centering Prayer, and you can kind of choose how long you want to do it for. And so we're going to set it for 20 minutes, which is the recommended time, twice a day for 20 minutes. Incidentally, the second time you do this is always the best, just to whet your appetite. The first time in the day is tough, more thoughts, more distraction. The second time, that's just two. All right, so let's prepare, and then we'll do this, and then we'll end with some Q&A at the end.